brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
What's up, guys, and welcome to part two of JG's Radio Free Insanity for January the 27th, 2006. I'm James Gutman, and this is brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. We're going to get Samoa Joe on the phone line in just a few minutes, but first I do want to talk a little bit about some things that we do have going on at the site. Keep you guys updated on the situation. We got a lot going on, a lot of things that involve you as well. First and foremost, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, yesterday, or depending on when you're hearing this, on Thursday, the 26th, saw the debut on our website of Dave...
It's still real to me, damn it!
Wills, the guy who was at the wrestling convention and got really emotional during a Q&A, and his video became almost famous on the internet. And I remember when I first saw this video online. I was away at the end of December. I came back, and this was the big thing, man. Jimmy Kimmel had it on. All these people had on this video. It became kind of like the new net video. I remember the one thing that really stuck me about Dave was that he was so emotional, and he cared so much about the industry, and all I kept thinking was that this guy has to have a story to tell. So I did reach out to him. I asked him if he would like to do a guest column, and he did, and I was very happy with his debut. I mean, he really has a lot to say, has a lot of passion for the business, and he's a normal guy. Just happens to really get caught up in the moment, so we're very excited to have him. Funny story about bringing him on board. Originally, I was considering this. I talked to some other people. Derek Bergen suggested it. And what I ended up doing was I talked to Tom Pritchard, one of our columnists on World Wrestling Insanity, and I said to him, I said, I'm thinking about having this guy that it's still real to me, damn it, kid, come on and do a guest column. And Tom loved the idea, all gung-ho, you gotta get him, my God. So yeah, I mean, at that point, it kind of pushed it over the edge. I mean, when it's one thing to have a video online, but to have an endorsement from Tom Pritchard, who we met, I mean, he ran into Tom at that convention. They talked for a while. Tom knew exactly who I was talking about when I mentioned it. And Tom seemed very, very high on it. So he came highly recommended. We brought Dave on board, very happy with where that's going. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, check it out. It's still real to him, damn it. It's real to me, too. So check it out up on the site right now. Also, while I have your attention, Dr. Tom Pritchard, who I just mentioned, former WWE top trainer, former columnist on WWE.com, former co-host of Bite This, is a staff member of World Wrestling Insanity, and I've been getting questions for weeks and weeks and weeks. When is Tom Pritchard going to answer some questions for us? Well, now is your chance, and here's what we're going to do. We have a new email address set up. It's asktom@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. This is going to go up on the site and the message board, I'm telling you right now, on the audio as well. What you can do, send over a question you have for Tom Pritchard to that email address. What we're going to do is we're going to be forwarding them over to Tom. He's going to be picking and choosing and answering some Q&As on the website. Now, I can't guarantee, in fact, I'll tell you point blank, he's not going to be answering every question that comes in. However, he will be answering a good amount of them. So if there's something you want to know of the good doctor, send it over. We'll get it over to him, and hopefully he'll answer it for you. Answer it for you. Send it over to asktom@worldwrestlinginsanity.com, and the good doctor should be checking in with some answers for you guys in the next few weeks. So I told you, this site is just continuing to grow. We're very excited. The book is coming out in May, World Wrestling Insanity. You can pick it up on Amazon. It's still real to me, damn it. Ask Dr. Tom, the book, the new layout of the site, so much going on. But guys, you're listening because you want to hear not my melodic tones, but the melodic tones of a guy who can barrel over you like a goddamn Buick. That's right, guys. One of the top wrestlers, if not the top wrestler in the country right now, Samoa Joe, TNA X Division champion, really just cleaning up the awards of all the websites for 2005, The Torch and The Observer and PW Insider and our site, just really just grabbing awards left and right, and now undefeated in TNA and heading into a pay-per-view. It's just really top to bottom, Samoa Joe has captivated a lot of fans, and he's got kind of that aura about him that WWE had in the late 90s, and that You could try to push whoever you want. They could try to push the top stars on the show, but Samoa Joe is really standing out to a lot of fans, and people see him as the next big thing in wrestling, and he's got kind of that style and that ability in the ring where even if a promotion doesn't get behind him 100%, he's got the kind of following and the kind of fan base that he's going to rise to the top no matter what happens, and we haven't had a guy like that in the industry in a very long time, so I am stoked to have him on the phone line. Let's dial it up. Let's get him on. You guys want to hear what he has to say? We're going to ask him about everything. Let's bring him on the line. Samoa Joe. Joe, welcome to the show, man.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you on, man. Right now in the wrestling industry, you're kind of, I mean, you're the big thing right now. Really cleaned up the awards when it comes to all the websites this year. I mean, you were the most outstanding wrestler for the Wrestling Observer. Our staff voted you Wrestler of the Year. PW Insider voted you Wrestler of the Year. The Torch had you as the number one draft pick. How does that feel? I mean, you've been in the business for a few years, and now you're really, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but this year was really your year. How does it feel?
It feels pretty good. I mean, accolades are always nice, there's always room for improvement. There's always more things you can get out there and do, so 2006 should be pretty interesting, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things about you that a lot of people like to point out is your ability to have good matches with a large list of opponents. I mean, different kinds of people, different styles, and you've had a way of gelling with them. What do you attribute that to? How do you find the strong points of your opponents and find a good way to work a match with them?
A lot of it is just, really knowing what you would like to portray and then taking that ideal and working it off of what your opponent brings to the table. And I think I like to kind of not adapt my style, but adapt what I do in the ring to kind of work towards the strong points of what my opponent likes to do. So it just takes a little bit of just kind of pitch and catch and see what ideas stick and what ideas don't, and a little bit of experimentation. Hopefully in the end it comes out okay.
Yeah, definitely. But you actually, you had a match last year that people are still talking about. We've probably been talking about for a while when you went in there with Kobashi and delivered just an amazing performance from top to bottom. When you're in a match like that, a match that ends up being kind of like one of the defining matches of kind of modern wrestling, what goes through your mind during it? What was the response like afterwards? What was that whole experience like for you?
It's a rare experience that I don't think a lot of guys are going to get the chance to have in their careers. And, for me, it was an overwhelming and positive one. I mean, I think what we did came off well. I think the fans enjoyed it. And, I think that's what part, made the match, as good as it was, that, you had a crowd that was anxious to see it. So, it was a real fun opportunity and something really fun that, I got to do. And I can look back on and say, hey, put something pretty good together.
But you're one of the wrestlers. You, I guess like CM Punk too as well, you really took Ring of Honor and you made sure people were familiar with your character while you were there so that when the time came for you to move on or at least wrestle for other organizations that were a little more high profile, people were already familiar with your kind of style and things like that. What were some of your favorite experiences as a member of Ring of Honor and coming up from UPW, going there and kind of getting your first exposure to a full-time wrestling gig with a company?
The matches with Punk were always cool. I think at our best, the cage match with Jay, it really kind of, set the tone for the company and what, we needed to do to keep Ring of Honor, in the forefront and keep it going and help build and expand the fan base, which we're still trying to do. There's a lot of great memories in ROH, and in ROH it's a smaller scale type promotion, but the fans are very receptive to the things that the guys are doing, and you can really go into Ring of Honor and put together a really nice body of work and really feed yourself and get to wrestle a lot of great guys, who are world class and who will help you get better. So it's as far as my time in Ring of Honor, there's tons of just really great memories there.
Yeah. Well, now that you've gone to TNA, it's funny in a way. I was just talking to somebody the other day about how TNA for a while was kind of focused on what they wanted in the main event. But it seems almost as time is going on, yourself, Chris Daniels, AJ Styles, and that X Division is getting more and more popular as the days go on, and we're actually reaching the point where it seems as though you guys are going to be the next step. Once everything kind of follows its way through, then they're naturally going to go to yourself and AJ and people who have really been drawing in the fans' interest over time. Do you feel that your style from Ring of Honor and the things that you learned as far as focusing on the in-ring action has changed TNA in a way since you've arrived?
I think it has. I mean, you know, there isn't a lot of time on the weekly Impact shows to do a lot of vignettes and stuff that will support, you know, kind of the storylines going on the pay-per-view. So, you know, we have to do what we can with the time that we're given in the ring. So, you know, Ring of Honor has always been about a promotion that, you know, it's about stuff that happens in the ring. Never, you know, kind of, because, I mean, it's a DVD product, and you know, the majority of the fans, you know, when they see Ring of Honor, they're going to see what goes on live at the show, is not what, you know, is produced backstage, which does go to help support a lot of the storylines and angles that they do there, but at the same time, it's not the focal point. So I think with a lot of Ring of Honor guys in TNA, what you get is guys with that ability to kind of tell that story within the confines of a ring, and it doesn't really take up a lot of video and promo time. And I think with the X Division, the focus has been on, you know, the in-ring action, and I think it's worked out well so far.
Yeah, I mean, actually, one of the cool things I do remember from remember, it just happened, but in TNA, you actually had that backstage skit with AJ Styles, where you pummeled him, you know, ridiculously pummeled him, and it was an example of using kind of one of those backstage skits, not almost to serve as a ha-ha kind of, you know, storyline dramatic advancement, but really to make people want to see you in the ring with him. Do you think that in TNA right now, the focus on kind of using those backstage skits to give the event more realism as opposed to just storyline advancement, do you think that's something positive in the long run?
I think it is. I mean, I think if you can suspend disbelief, fans will want to see what's going to happen. And, you know, that's what we've been trying to do. I think with a lot of stuff that we do in TNA, as it pertains to the X Division, I mean, you know, we want... You know, the highlight of the X Division is obviously the in-ring product, and I think that we want to do things that work towards that and go to highlight, you know, that aspect of what we're trying to do. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a work in progress, and I think everybody's learning, but, I mean, you know, hopefully we'll get the formula down right here.
Yeah. Well, I just watched Impact. I watched it on delay, so I watched it yesterday from Sunday, and I noticed on the show there were two distinct kind of commercial vignettes, one for you and one for Chris Daniels, and the two of you have been involved in probably one of the biggest feuds they have right now in the company, and that includes main event matches. But you and Chris, actually, you guys were both from UPW. You guys had a, you know, high profile, you know, series of matches in 2001. What is that like now, kind of coming full circle, and the two of you going from starting out, you know, years ago, and now here you are in TNA, and you're kind of taking the reins? What is that like for the two of you?
It's you know, it's enjoyable. I mean, Chris is a guy that, you know, I've known practically all my career, and his reputation speaks for itself. I mean, he's a fantastic wrestler. I think, you know, one of the best performers in the industry, and I think kind of given the opportunity to kind of go back and work with somebody who I've kind of come up with on a national scale. I mean, that's always, you know, it's always a welcome relief, so to speak. I mean, I know what Chris is capable of, you know, and it makes it exciting to go to work when you work with people like that. So, it's definitely a good thing.
Out of everybody in TNA right now, who would you most like to step in the ring with, both not just professionally to kind of advance your career, but who do you think you could really put on an amazing match with out of the current roster?
You know, out of the heavyweights, I think you got guys like Abyss and Monty Brown, and I'd very much look forward to kind of getting in there and having a program with Sting. Back in the X Division, I mean, you know, there's obviously Chris and AJ, but I mean, I think Chris Sabin's a guy who's going to really emerge this year. I mean, I think he's fantastic. Guys like Alex Shelley, I think, are kind of primed and ready to do some, you know, some big things in the X Division. So, I mean, it basically comes down to, you know, who I end up working on program with. That's, you know, who I'm going to put all my effort and you know, all my creative juices towards. But, I mean, you know, those are definitely some names that I'd like to get in there and work with.
Well, see, actually, that's almost the attitude that you have that kind of separates you, I think, from a lot of people, is that that attitude of whoever you do get put in there with, you're going to try to get the most out of. I think a lot of wrestlers today, they don't really know how to adapt to that style of different people. And I think what's cool about your gimmick is that it's almost based on brawling, yet not the traditional sense of brawling. A lot of times in the industry, famous brawlers have kind of had the reputation of not being good, quote-unquote, workers. Do you feel that you've changed that kind of mentality, and that you've changed that belief in that the style of a brawler style isn't exactly, I won't say believable, but it's kind of the thing that some people fall back on when they don't do other moves?
Honestly, I never really think of it in those contexts. I mean, I just kind of think of it as, what would, the vicious kind of cold hard bastard do to somebody else, and I mean, kind of work off of that template. As far as the brawling and being a ring technician, I mean, I think there's, a time and a place, and I think that, it's not about leaning exactly one way or the other. I think it's kind of finding that careful balance between the two, because it's still wrestling,
Yep.
And, I think if you can find a balance and find a way to kind of get across both aspects of that, it's part of your character, I think it works your advantage. I think the fan would be interested.
Yeah. One of the things about your career is that at the time that you chose to go to TNA, and a lot of people were kind of assuming that you might be going to WWE based on Mick Foley being a part of Ring of Honor and things like that. And I remember right at that same time, one of the same questions came up about Matt Hardy, whether he was going to go to TNA or WWE. And now looking back, Matt Hardy chose to go to WWE, and you ended up in TNA, and I think it says a lot, because Matt Hardy isn't really featured as prominently in WWE as opposed to, this opportunity that you have in Total Nonstop Action. Do you think that your choice and the fact that you made this decision and you got featured so prominently in TNA will influence other people and kind of help to build up the company as a whole?
I think so. I think not only myself, but guys like Christian. I mean, when it comes right down to it, I mean, people are going to, go where they can, make a living and support themselves and whether it be TNA or WWE, I think people in WWE, do see TNA as, or at least employees in WWE see TNA as a viable, alternative, way to make a living, and it is, it's, once again, it's just a matter of, where you're going to be used, and if you're going to be, if you say you come to TNA, if there is going to be spots open. I mean, right now, the purse strings are pretty tight, and I know the roster's getting pretty packed, and we only do have an hour TV show, so it's tough enough getting all the guys on that we want to get on now. So, it is an alternative, but, you better bring something to the table to justify you being there.
Yeah, what were some of the things that led to you to choosing TNA as opposed to looking into other avenues like WWE?
The schedule is part of it. The ability to still kind of, control and work indies and stuff that I've been doing on the weekends. Once again, just, potential to actually be doing something beyond TV and be working. I don't think, I would have benefited too much by being in WWE right now. Uh-huh. That's, to me, what was the biggest thing is that, I wanted to work. I wanted to kind of get out there and do my thing and be happy with what I was doing. TNA kind of, I felt, presented a better opportunity for me.
Yeah. Let me ask you about your gimmick, being Samoa Joe. For a long time, I mean, outside of people like Peter Maivia and people like that, a big part of the Samoan gimmick has been focusing on the fact that person is Samoan. In other words, the head shrinkers or Rikishi Fatu and things like that. And you've kind of taken this gimmick and you've shown fans in a way that just because your name has Samoa in it or you're doing a Samoan gimmick, you don't necessarily have to be the right, off the island type of Samoan gimmick. Do you feel it sounds like such a silly question that it's been beneficial, but how do you feel about the fact that you've now kind of given future Samoan wrestlers an opportunity to branch out into gimmicks other than what has traditionally been there for them?
I think it's cool. I mean, it's so easy to pigeonhole, Samoan wrestler, into that type of persona. But, I think, Rocky did a lot to kind of break that mold, and I'd like to think I'm just continuing to do it. me. And I mean, it's not something I've consciously done, like, you know, kind of set out to do, but it's something that's kind of happened and it's worked, and you know, hopefully we'll see a lot more Samoan wrestlers maybe here in the future who, you know, are can expand their character beyond the stiff head and fish eating savage persona.
Well, now you've been watching wrestling for years, right? Long before you became a performer. That's right.
Yeah,
right?
You know, my mom's family grew up and it was always on in our house and stuff. So, you know, it was definitely around.
Who would you count as some of your influences that have led to your style and just to get you involved in the industry?
You know, I always loved how Arn Anderson portrayed himself, you know, in a wrestling ring. I mean, you know, when we talk about guys like that, I mean, I can't really say that I take a lot of influence from a lot of people, but I mean, I definitely appreciate the work of a lot of people, but you know, even success from the art.
I mean, well, looking back in history, I mean, it's something that we ask almost every guest that comes on. If you can go back and you could wrestle anybody in history at any time, in the business, obviously, I'm not looking for, like, George Washington. But, I mean, like, somebody within the business, and you had to choose one, who would you choose?
Yeah, I'd love to wrestle Jumbo Tsuruta. I mean, especially, right before his retirement or, you know, towards his latter years in all Japan, I thought he was really great. I always wanted to wrestle Tender. I mean, he's still alive today, but, you know, he's definitely a guy. And, I mean, for the most part, I mean, those are definitely guys that I would love to have gotten in there and done stuff with.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Where do you see yourself? I mean, it's always hard to get too far in the future, but 5 years from now, where would you like to see yourself, and where do you see your career taking you?
I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, doing a prominent amount of business for whatever company that I'm with, and you know, people are enjoying it and making a decent living doing it. I mean, that's pretty much one of my goals for the next 5 years.
Nice. All right, so the next pay-per-view you guys have coming up, you're going to be facing off AJ Styles, and I know a lot of fans, I mean, this year you won the match of the year against Kibachi for our website, but your match against Styles was actually high up there on the list. It was funny, you kind of came in almost top five, I think three of them were your kind of matches, and especially against AJ was a big one that people were really into. Is it hard going into each one of these pay-per-views knowing that a lot of people are looking to you to kind of bring match of the night? I mean, is that tough to live up to?
I mean, it is, but then again, I mean, there's no other spot I'd rather be in. People do kind of, you know, look to us in the X Division match to kind of deliver, I guess, the meat and potatoes of what's going to be done with pay-per-view. And, I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, as long as I show the ability and the opportunity, that I'm going to do my best to do it.
Yeah, terrific. Well, Joe, man, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And yeah, I mean, I know the fans are going to be keeping an eye on you, and I definitely think that this is just the beginning. Anything you want to say to your fans out there before I let you go?
Definitely go check out the website, www.smojo.com. Thanks for watching, and tuning in back every week.
Cool, man. So there you have it, guys. Samoa Joe recovering from a staph infection, taking time out to talk to us here at WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Really happy to have him on. Yeah, and as I told you guys before, this isn't where the guests stop. It's actually just ramping up, as I've said before. We're going to be having more and more people in here each and every week. Again, Joe is just one of the many names. Samoa Joe, Spike Dudley, can I say that? Dave Hepner, Vince Russo, Charlie Haas, Aaron Aguilera. I mean, we've had a ton of people coming in and out right here on World Wrestling Insanity's Radio Free Insanity. We're very excited about it. So, guys, be sure to check that out. Also, remember, check out Conga Dave. It's Still Real to Me. Wills with his brand new guest column here. Next week, we're going to have Tom Pritchard on the phone line helping us out with the Moment of Insanity. So be able to be sure to check that out as well. Also, any questions for Tom, send them over to asktom@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. We will be forwarding them over to him, and he'll answer them as much as he can. So, guys, hell of a lot going on with the website, not to mention the book, which is coming out in May. So, yeah, guys, keep checking back, worldwrestlinginsanity.com. And I promise you, as I promised you from the beginning, we're not going to let you down. We're going to have plenty of stuff for you to do, plenty of stuff for you guys to read. And you're going to have a good time. So until we next meet, this is James Gutman telling you to be well. And thank you so much for sharing our insanity.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.